Amen. Well, thank you for having me here. It's great to be here. Appreciate Pastor Shelley for all the great hospitality. Thanks, everybody. We got a full house tonight. That's great. Amen. And got my pastor here. Where's he at? Pastor Jimenez. I heard him say amen over there. So it looks like this pulpit shrank since the last time I was here. I don't know what's going on. Pastor's happy about that. See that we have some protesters outside. Looks like they're on the side of the wicked, right? But tonight the sermon, let's look at Mark chapter 9, verse 42. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. The Bible says, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for all these people who come on a Wednesday night into a conference like this, Lord, the Fire-Breathing Baptist Fellowship. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every pastor that gets up after me and preaches the Word of God, Lord. I pray that you'd just fill them with a fiery spirit, Lord. Lord, tonight, would you fill me with the fiery spirit and help me to convey your Word, Lord. Help me to get across the message you put on my heart tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the title of my sermon tonight is Pervert Protecting Pastors. Pervert Protecting Pastors. And so that's about as alliterated as it's going to get, Pastor Jimenez. But I wanted to get some three P's at least into the sermon title. But Pervert Protecting Pastors, what am I talking about? Well, I'm going to read you a couple headlines really quickly here before I get into the message. Headline number one, homosexual plague creates pedophile epidemic within Boy Scouts of America. That's a headline and a sad headline that I read today. I think Pastor Major posted that. And it's sad what's happened with the Boy Scouts of America and to where there's just hundreds of pedophiles that they're protecting and not giving up the names of all these so they could help these victims come forward and so they can get these people out of the Boy Scouts. And the Boy Scouts have basically turned into the Fairy Scouts, in case anybody didn't notice that. I would never put my kids in Boy Scouts, and I never did put them in there because I already knew back then that there were some problems. So headline number two, silenced billionaire pedophile ring operator Jeffrey Epstein found dead in cell. Suicide is claimed. All right. Everybody has been seeing those all those funny memes and stuff like that. But, you know, really, it's not funny in the fact that he did some very wicked things. He was a wicked person. And it's not like we're sad that he supposedly killed himself, but the cover-up that's behind it, the cover-up with the Boy Scouts of America, and, you know, even unsaved people generally hate pedophiles. I mean, we know that you'll see, like, these news articles, and they'll say, hang them, kill them, shoot them, you know, and they're with us on that account. But for some reason, law enforcement and this justice system, the so-called justice system that we live under, doesn't feel that way. They want to give them chance after chance after chance to just offend and offend and offend, right? And so, but that being said, you know, people do hate pedophiles, but would you expect, you know, I would expect unsaved people to, you know, not expose pedophiles, wouldn't you? I mean, we don't expect it, you know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is that if anybody was going to do it, it would be unsaved people or reprobate type people, right? Not all unsaved people are reprobates. I would expect Catholic priests and false prophets and other various unsaved so-called Christian denominations. You see a lot of cover-ups of pedophiles in those types of churches. But you know who I don't expect to cover up child sexual predators? You know who I don't expect to do that? I don't expect the independent, fundamental Baptist pastors to be covering these types of things up. And so that's why I'm preaching about it, because there's a bunch of pervert protecting pastors, and I'm not talking about the ones that are unsaved, so-called, in these other churches. I'm talking about independent, fundamental Baptist preachers that just want to cover up and just, you know, shove it into the corner where nobody can see it, kick people out if they try to bring it up. I want to ask right now, if there's just a show of hands, who's been in a Baptist church where some sort of sexual misconduct has been covered up? Anybody in here? Nobody's been in a church. Is everybody here from Steadfast? Or they've never been to another Baptist church? Okay. Maybe you just don't know. And that's part of what I'm preaching about, is that some people just don't even know. Some of them are so protected that they don't even tell other people in the church that they have one in there. And that's what's really scary. And I've gone to two churches where I know that that's happened. So in Pastor Stacy Shiflett's book, Wolves Among the Lambs, he does a great job of exposing men that abused him. One man abused him when he was a teenage boy, and another one tried to. He hired him on as like an assistant pastor and then like slowly groomed him over 6 months and then tried to make a move on him when they were supposed to be praying for like revival and all this stuff, and then he just propositions him some homosexual deal. But what I like, you know, if you haven't read that book, it's a page-turner. I mean, it's a great book. If you know what I'm talking about, Pastor Stacy Shiflett's book, where he's the one that like blew the lid off of Cameron Giovanelli and for his things, he that's a great book. I mean, I read it all the way here on the plane. I was just like, wow, this is fantastic. And I actually read it in a Southern accent for some reason. I don't know why I do that, but I do. But, you know, what I liked about Pastor Shiflett's book is he details what happened to him, which is, it's hard to read. And it's really hard to read, and it's hard to think that someone would go through that. But you know what he did that was really good? The first thing he did is he walked into his parents' bedroom and he told them the truth. And it was probably very embarrassing for him to do that. But his dad got up and said, get your stuff and get out of here. They called the police. The guy was fired. And he was he was kicked out of the Bible college that he was going to. I think it was, I can't remember the name. But apparently this guy had already had problems at the Bible college he was at before. And so they knew about his problems, that he had homosexual tendencies. And that's the thing, is that these pastors think that they can just save everybody. They want to just give grace beyond what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to give. You know, because what Christ said in Mark 9:42, he said, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones. Now, we're talking about little children here. That believe in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. But yet people, Baptist preachers, will say, oh, we got to give him some grace. Let's let him hide out in our church. You know, he's not going to do it again. That's garbage, man. That stuff needs to stop. And thank God you're in a church here today where I know that will never get covered up.
Right.
And so churches like ours, we don't really have to worry about it. So I'm kind of preaching to the choir a little bit tonight. But here's the thing, that we got to preach about this stuff so it doesn't happen in these types of churches ever. So I went to a church called Amazing Grace Baptist Church. There wasn't a lot of really Amazing Grace going on there. But the pastor's name was Dean Clarkson. The reason why I'm calling his name is because this is what has to stop. We have to stop protecting people. We have to stop protecting pastors that would cover stuff up like this. And so after leaving his church, I found out that through one of the deacon's wives, of course, you know, they never gossip. But I'm glad that we heard the gossip on this. We attended that church, and we found out later that there was 5 convicted sex offenders in that church the whole time we were there. So, you know, we had a junior church program, and everybody's been to like an old IFB-type church. You know, they had the bus program and all that stuff. So I don't know if they found out through the background checks that these guys were perverts, but one thing I do know is that they weren't allowed to go downstairs during the bus, you know, the junior church time and all that stuff. That's all good and fine, but what about the kids whose parents bring them to that church? It's not like we never went upstairs with our kids. And so they weren't allowed to go downstairs and be part of the ministry stuff, but nobody knew who they were. That's the problem. We can't sweep things under the rug. Everything has to be done out in the open. We can't just cover things up. And the problem is that the Baptists today are starting to look a lot like the Catholic churches in the fact that they want to cover up all this abuse that's going on. I mean, West Coast Baptist College didn't even, or was it, no, Golden Calf Baptist College, that's the one, where Giovanelli was the president. They wanted to cover it up until they couldn't cover it up anymore. That's just not right. That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus wants us to do our ministry out in the open, right? He wants us to preach things from the housetops. What's put in the ears in secret, we got to preach on the housetops. So, you know, these guys, they supposedly didn't allow these men to partake in the children's ministries. nor were allowed to go downstairs during the services. But I'll tell you, one time, I remember this very vividly because it was just super crazy to me, that this same preacher allowed a transvestite to come into our church during the services and roam around, and eventually he found his way downstairs to where the kids were, and nobody stopped him, and they lost track of him. We were having a potluck, like a fifth Sunday potluck that day, so people were more concerned about the food, apparently, than they were about this tranny walking around the halls of the church. So we're all outside looking for him, all the deacons and the ushers and stuff like that, and we couldn't find the guy anywhere. I mean, the guy, the transvestite guy, if you can call him a guy, but anyway, so where the pastor finally found him, he was baptizing himself naked in the baptistry up in the church service area. And at that point, he finally got mad and kicked him out. You know, you'd think he'd get mad and kick him out the moment he walked into the church door looking like a freak. These guys out here are protesting, oh, we're like the Christian Taliban. You know, the Christian Taliban would shoot those guys right now. We're not the Christian Taliban. We just want to keep our churches, we want our children to be safe in the church services that we're at. That's why we're family integrated. You just can't trust people anymore. So, anyway, so this guy was baptizing himself naked in the baptistry with his makeup on. And I mean, it was a horrific sight. It's nothing that you ever want to see. But here's what I think. I think, have you ever heard the word accessory? You ever heard that word before? You're an accessory to murder. You're an accessory to whatever crime. What accessory means is someone who gives assistance to the perpetrator of a crime without directly committing it, sometimes without being present. And so what I would say to you is this, is that any Baptist preacher that knows that there's 5 pedophiles in their church and refuses to tell the rest of the congregation that these people are in the church, they are an accessory to anything that happens in that church, to any of those little children. But, you know, you don't even see people getting charged for things like that. It's like, well, I don't have to legally tell anybody. You should, though. You should. Who are you trying to protect? We should be protecting the children. In Mark 9:42, let's look back there again. It says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And then it goes on to talk about how these people are going to be in hell. The types of people that would offend a little child, it says, look at verse 43, it says, at the end of the verse, it says, and have 2 hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Yet this pastor wants to bring these people into the church, knowing that that person's going to split hell wide open. And hey, I get it. The people don't realize, oh, I don't believe that or whatever. They say, I don't believe in the reprobate doctrine. How can you not? If you read this book, how could you not believe the reprobate doctrine? The reprobate doctrine is important. Why is it important? Well, because pastors are letting perverts and people that are hellbound into our churches to molest our children. So all these verses that talk about the fire not being quenched, being cast into hell, into the fire shall never be quenched. I mean, he says it over and over again. Why does he say it so much? Because he wants us to get it in our minds. He wants us to understand that people that offend these little ones that believe in him, it'd be better for them. Like, I mean, just picture the picture in your mind. A rope around your neck, a gigantic stone. Just picture him standing on a dock, tied around, millstone. They throw it in, and his head goes down into the water with a rope wrapped around his neck. I mean, that's the picture that we're talking. And when you go down to the water, have you ever swum and like tried to reach the bottom, and your head is down towards the bottom of the pool? What happens? The pressure in your head starts to build up, right? And it hurts. You get that little, you know, the little pressure headache. What do you think is going to happen if you drop somebody into the sea with a big rock around their neck? Their head's going to explode. So that's what Jesus is basically saying. It's better for that to happen to him than to, you know, is better than having, you know, it's better that they had a millstone hanged around their, about their neck and they were cast to the sea if you offend one of these little ones. Because your punishment is going to be severe. That's what it's talking about. So pastors that allow known perverts in their churches, I believe, are accessories to whatever that person does. And I don't care how much grace they think they have in their hearts. That's not grace, my friends. That's not grace. So turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13. The Bible says, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." So we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, aren't we? We're supposed to be salty. You ever heard that term? Hey, be salt. You know, they're salty. Well, we're supposed to be salty. You know, salt irritates people sometimes. Salt irritates your eye. If you ever get salt in your eyes, you know, you're sweating. It's an irritant. But it's also a preservant. And we need to be, as Christians, we need to be salty. But, you know, when the salt's lost its savor, it's good for nothing. It's to be cast out. So, you know, if you're not salty enough to kick some pervert out of your church, then maybe you're good for nothing too. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse number 7. Now, this is a parallel passage concerning Mark, the same thing as Mark chapter 9 is teaching. Look at verse number 7. It says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to the man, that man, excuse me, by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than to have two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones." Now, who's the little ones that he's talking about? He's talking about the little ones like in Mark chapter 9, the little children. "Despise them not, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray?" Now you might think that this doesn't really fit here, but it does fit. Because what we're supposed to do as pastors, as a pastor, we're supposed to go after the ones that are lost and need help. But what these types of pastors are doing is they're going after the wolf and trying to bring that wolf in instead. So they're doing the opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. Instead of being a good sheep dog, they're being a person that's bringing wolves into the church. Instead of going after the one that went astray, they're going after a wolf and bringing that wolf into the church and letting them play around with the sheep. And look at verse 13, it says, "And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more for that sheep than for the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." So we're supposed to go after the ones that go astray. We're not supposed to bring these wolves into the church house. And that's what's happening in a lot of churches today, because you know what? The truth of the matter is they just don't believe the truth anymore. They don't believe the truth, just like these fools out here don't believe the truth. They don't believe the truth. Someone told me that I'm not even going to say what they said, but that they have pictures that they'll show them, but they won't show anybody else because some of the things that they say are super obscene. I'm not even going to say it behind the pulpit because it's so bad. But let me tell you, these people are not good guys out here. They're trying to defile your children by letting them see those signs. You know, I hope soon that they're out of here. I heard they've been here for a while, just coming in with their little stupid signs. You know what? They're on the side of evil. Those are the types of people right there that will let these queers into their churches and let these sodomites and let these child molesters into their churches. Today, pastors have lost their saltiness. We're supposed to have a little bit of salt, right? And instead of being a light in a dark world, they let these devils into the world, allowing them to just roost and set up shop. I mean, What better way to get to children than to go to the most forgiving people that there is? And you know what they'll say? You know what the guy that tried to proposition Pastor Shiplett said to him right after? He said, no. And he said, you're a sick sodomite, is what he told him. You're just a sick, filthy sodomite. And then he said, well, you have to forgive me, brother. Forgive me. I mean, that's the type of people you're dealing with. They know what we believe. They know that people are forgiving, and if they're not being taught this type of stuff from the pulpit, then they're going to believe what their pastor's telling them. And that's the problem. We need to just expose things like this and expose pastors that would just sit there and let these perverts stay in their churches. And you know what? If I find out about a pastor that's allowing perverts in their church, I'm going to expose them. I don't think, you know, that's what I like about Pastor Shiflett, is that no matter what the problem, this guy, the guy that did this to him was like a very well-respected pastor. He was like on a some kind of a board of directors for, you know, he was a super popular guy, well-respected. And who's Pastor Shiflett? He was just like an assistant pastor, wet behind the ears, real young. And he had to go and slay a giant, basically. And people will side with these people that they respect so much instead of siding with the right side. So, I want to tell you a story about when I came back from Phoenix, Arizona, the very first time I visited the church down there. It was a great time. Went down there with a couple of friends, and we just, you know, it was like our Mecca, you know, we were like, we found the spot, you know. But what we were doing is we were trying to go down there and try to pastor hunt. We were trying to get a pastor to be sent up to Portland. But that was, you know, we had a great time, met a lot of great people, and heard some great preaching. And when we came back, the church that we were going to, you know, we decided when we were on this trip, you know, that we wanted to join the church so that we could be effective. Because a lot of these churches, like if you don't join the church, you know what I'm talking about, go up to the old-fashioned altar and join the church, then they won't let you do anything there. So we were like, well, we'll just join the church. And they did it through a business meeting or something. So when we went to the business meeting, you know, they voted us in. They said it was okay for us to be members of the church or whatever. We're all happy. And then afterward, he said, well, we got to keep you for a couple minutes extra. And I was like, oh, okay, this is weird. And so then he started to tell us about how a guy that we've been going to church there for this whole time, who was the song leader, who wore lavender and pink shirts every time he got up to song lead, he hid in the back and talked to young men all the time that were like 12 and 13 years old, and told us that this guy had been in trouble for looking at images of children. But he said, well, you know, he's rehabilitated. And you know what? I would have him over at my house for dinner because, you know, that's how much I trust and believe that he's turned it around. The guy was married, had children. But, you know, afterward, I was so disappointed because, you know, I came back home to realize that the church that I was going to was harboring a pervert. And so I went to the pastor after that very respectfully. I didn't like tell him he was an idiot or anything like that. That's not how I roll. But I just said, Pastor, and I just tried to show him the verses that say, hey, these guys are not, they can't be fixed. This, I said, Pastor, this is on your hands. This guy is going to do it again, and, you know, it's going to be on you. Are you going to kick him out if he does it again at least? And he said that he would. And so not too long. So this guy, he was a graduate of Golden State Baptist College. His name was Justin Gillen. And he was an assistant pastor in a big church in Oregon. And he got fired because the FBI found him searching for 7-year-old boys on the internet. And he was like file sharing with all these pedophiles. And so he was married at this time also. So people will always say this, well, they're married. It doesn't matter. That's how they hide. They can hide in plain sight. They're psychopaths. They don't have feelings like that. They just pretend in this world to get the things that they want. But anyway, so he got busted by the FBI for having 280 images of little boys in all kinds of various, you know, bad displays. I'm sure, you know, I don't want to defile your minds too much, but You know, he was searching for seven-year-old boys. That's disgusting.
Yeah, right.
And so I'm glad that that guy, it wasn't very long before he got caught doing it again. But this time he was looking up incest daughter, you know, pre-puberty pictures. So, and he had a daughter who was like 10 years old. I mean, the guy is a pervert. The guy was wicked. And this is the problem is that, like, I was talking to Brother Wittenberger yesterday. He's like, every church I've been to, same thing, every church. Because we were talking about it last night. And it's just really sad that only in churches like this can you feel safe with your children. And I'll tell you what, you know, what is the point of me preaching this sermon? Well, hey, I want you to know how good of a church you're going to, first of all. And the other thing is, I want to warn people that are going to some of these old IFB-type churches are just hiding. They're like, I really want to go to a new IFB church. But the problem is that, you know, I don't want to move, or I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that. Look, the chances are the church you're going to is the same exact way. And I'm not saying all, Stacy Shiflett, Pastor Shiflett, he is not letting perverts in his church. So I would recommend his church. I don't care if he's pre-trib or not. But there's very few and far in between. There's 6,000 independent Baptist churches. I know that's true. But how many of them are actually worth going to? It's very few and far in between. And the problem is you got a bunch of blind, you know, ignorant people that are preaching in these churches. I mean, sometimes I just looked at a church that was in my area, and it was led by a man and his wife, and they were an older couple. She had short hair. But anyway, I just looked last week to see, like, you know, what's going on at their church, and they have a new pastor and a new pastor's wife. That's great. No children. So, I mean, to us, that's just like insane, isn't it? But look, that's what's going on these days. The qualifications have been thrown out the window. So, you know, it sucks that I had to come back from Phoenix, Arizona. I joined the church at the same business meeting where they revealed this pervert to us. And so can you imagine the emotions that I was going through at that time? Top of the world, Phoenix, Arizona. It wasn't very long. I went and saw Pastor Jimenez because I had to, like, keep going and getting some kind of refreshment in my life because the preaching there was so bad. I mean, I was going for duty in all reality because I thought it was the best church in our area. And the best church in our area was harboring a pervert. And unfortunately, that's the way it is today. Turn to Isaiah chapter 56, verse number 10. Isaiah 56, verse number 10, the Bible explains why these people are like this, why these pastors would be like this. And in Isaiah's day, God's always had the same problems, you know, pastors that just won't do their job, watchmen that won't do their job. And look at verse number 10. It says, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. Now, ignorant doesn't mean they're stupid necessarily. It just means that they don't know. And isn't that true? A lot of pastors just don't know the Bible. Isn't it true that a lot of pastors are just ignorant about this topic right now that I'm preaching about? It says they're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. See, they're not, you know, dogs should be like sheepdogs. They should be watching the sheep and knowing what's going on. Instead, they're sleeping. They're lying around. They can't even bark. They're dumb dogs. Verse number 11. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They just can't understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. That's the type of shepherds that I'm talking about tonight. Look, you got a good shepherd here. Amen. Pastor Shelley's a good shepherd. Pastor Jimenez, he's a good shepherd. Not the good shepherd, but a good shepherd, all right? So I want to be careful not to steal Jesus' title. Amen. But we have a lot of problems with, you know, the Bible says that people, in the last days, there'll be perilous times. We're living in those perilous times. We're starting to see the beginnings of these perilous times in these churches that have fallen away from the faith. It used to be in Southern Baptist churches there would be a lot of saved pastors, you know, and a lot of them, you know, I'm sure that there still are some. But the Southern Baptist Convention, if you look at it, it's a mess. It's a total mess. They had some lesbian affirming person just become part of their leadership, some woman. It's like they've gone off the rails, you know. But the name Baptist just doesn't mean what it used to back in the day, unfortunately. And I'm not even that old, but I've been saved for almost 20 years. And the Baptist church that I've started in has totally changed. And so that's a state of affairs that we're in. If this is the first church you've ever come to and you've never had to deal with that, well, then this sermon doesn't need to apply to you. Stay at this church. It's a good church. And your children will be protected here. All right? Turn to Matthew chapter 10. When Christ sent the disciples out in this chapter, he told them, he warned them, there's going to be wolves out in the midst. It says in verse number 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." So we're supposed to be harmless as doves, I get that. But we're also supposed to be wise as serpents, as pastors. You know, we need to be wise in dealing with things. And, you know, harmless as doves, I get that. But, you know, what do serpents do? They coil people up. They eat them, right? I mean, sometimes, you know, snakes strike, right? And so, you know, on one hand, we're supposed to be harmless as doves. So, you know, we're not supposed to be doing harm. But, hey, to the person that needs to get thrown out of here, you know, we need to be wise as a serpent. Get those people out of here. Get them out of this church building. And look, there's people that have shown themselves traitors. Look, I'm just going to say this right now. Don't trust people around your kids, okay? And I understand that there's a certain degree of it that goes on, but, I mean, kids can be molesters too. Older kids. And, you know, I've read terrible stories about older kids. Don't, just because they're a kid doesn't mean you can trust them either. I'm not saying be weird, okay? But you should be cautious of who you're letting your children around, who you're letting watch your children and things like that. I mean, even more today, they don't do anything to the offenders of them. They don't do anything to them. They just let them go so they can go do it to somebody else. So the Lord sent us out as sheep in the midst of wolves. We got to realize, hey, there's wolves out there too. Not everybody's on our side. But out of all the people, shouldn't we be able to trust the pastor? Like, out of all the people in the building, shouldn't we be able to trust what the pastor says? We should be able to. But unfortunately, in churches, there's pastors that you can't trust. You can't even trust them to tell you the truth on a super important topic like this. We need to be the sheepdogs. Have you ever seen those old cartoons where the sheepdog, he would put his hand above his eye so he could see, and he was watching the sheep, and then the coyote's always trying to eat the sheep. I don't know. I'm old, so maybe you haven't seen those. But he'd always end up catching that coyote, right, and grabbing it by the neck, and then he would just like, pow, just hit that coyote in the face. Or, you know, he'd heard it always had black eyes and stuff. Because he was a good sheepdog. He was watching out for the flock. And no matter how many sneaky things he tried to do, he was always there to stop him from destroying those sheep. Turn to Luke chapter 8. And as much as these pastors would try to hide these perverts from their churches, you know what? God's always going to let them be revealed. He's always going to let them be revealed. See, it took me leaving the church. I finally found out, but it did get revealed to me. And I could use it as an illustration for tonight. Luke chapter 8, verse 17 says, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." There's nothing secret. God's going to make it manifest. What does that mean? He's going to show it to you. He's going to show us these wicked people. And God is going to make known these perverts in these churches. Now, this is going to be some hard reading right here. I'm going to read to you just something from, it's the United States of America plaintiff, Appley versus Edwin James. Okay? It's a court case. And this guy, basically, Edwin James, is fighting to be able to not have to have lifetime supervision for the things he's done. Okay? So just listen. I'll try to get through it fast here. Edwin James appeals his sentence of lifetime supervised release and certain conditions of supervised release imposed by the district court after James pleaded guilty to failing to register as a sex offender, and then it says what the violation is and all that stuff. So it gives, I'm not going to read the whole thing because the court case is so long, but I'm going to just tell you the background of this guy. Okay, Edwin James, background. In 1979, James pleaded guilty in Washington State, that's where I'm from, to one count of statutory rape in the first degree for having sexual intercourse with a four-year-old girl. Soon after his conviction, James was declared to be a sexual psychopath. If you don't know what a psychopath is, there's a film back there that you need to check out. It's called Psychopath Reprobates. I'll explain to you what a psychopath is. But a psychopath is someone that doesn't feel any empathy for anybody, and they're capable of doing anything. It's what we call a reprobate, right? Psychopath reprobate. All right, so it says the court sentenced him to a suspended sentence of 20 years at a psychiatric hospital. That's all he got. Contingent on his completion of a sexual psychopathy program during his treatment to the hospital, James admitted to hospital staff that he sexually abused three of his children and his nephews on several occasions. The treatment also elicited a confession from James that he was sexually abused, that he sexually abused a six-year-old girl when he was 17 years old, sexually abused a 12 or 13-year-old girl when he was in his 20s. Hospital staff also believe that James' dependence on alcohol exacerbated his deviance as an aggravate to his potential for acting out in a predatory fashion. So basically blaming the alcohol on it, right? His problems were far worse than alcohol. In 1985, James decided to leave the sexual psychopathy program short of completion because of a domestic dispute with his wife. Hospital staff strongly warned against James leaving the program because he did not believe James had overcome his sexual deviance. In a letter to the court, hospital staff called attention to his deviousness, attempts to shift accountability and to manipulate others. Even after several years of treatment, after James left the program, the court revoked his suspended sentence and sentenced James to prison. James was paroled in 1988. Soon after his release, James began a sexual relationship with Linda Hance, a mentally handicapped woman. Does this sound like somebody that you'd want to go to church with? Does this sound like somebody you'd want to breathe the same air in the same room with for more than 5 seconds? It says James and Hance share a child together who was born in 1993. Additionally, James was convicted twice in California for failing to register as a sex offender in 1995. James and his family moved to Dequeen, Arkansas in early 2013. James last registered as a sex offender on May 17, 2012 in Sacramento, California, where he was then living. Coordination between law enforcement in Sacramento and Dequeen led to James' location and arrest. In October 2013, James was indicted on the court or on one court for failing to register under SORNA, to which he pled guilty. The district court sentenced James to 15 months imprisonment and a lifetime term of supervised release. Upon James' objection to lifetime supervised release, the court stated the following. So that's as far as I'm going to go with that. But here's this guy. He's been declared a sexual psychopath. He's an abuser of children, young children, little children. And he just gets to bounce around and go wherever he wants in the United States. And he gets in trouble, and they just slap his hand again and keep doing the same thing. But when he moved to Dequeen, you know, what this is about is him trying to fight the fact that he has to have be supervised for the rest of his life. So he's trying to stop himself from being accountable. Now, this guy is an evil, wicked predator. He's a level 4 offender, and he's also a member of Rose Hill Baptist Church in Dequeen, Arkansas. He's a member there. And you know what? I have some friends here, the Dunn family, and they just found out about this. And you know how they found out about it? They were going, they did a soul winning marathon. I don't know if anybody knows about the soul winning marathon they did in Texarkana. But they felt bad that they didn't have a good Baptist church to send them to, so they went to a Baptist church over there, and he hated people like our, you know, Andersonite guts or whatever. And so, and he also told Brother Scott that he had a registered sex offender in his church. He goes, well, I'm not going to send anybody to your church, you know. And so, you know, they did it. They got like 10 people saved in the marathon. And when he went back to his pastor, he just He didn't understand why his pastor, Pastor Timothy Smallwood, would, you know, not say anything like, how did it go? What were the results? And finally, Brother Scott had to ask him. He's like, I was just curious, you didn't ask about how everything went. And he was like, I was upset because, there was no place to send those people once they got saved. I'd rather see them in hell than see them saved type of mentality that most pastors have today. But, he said, well, I didn't want to send him to a church where the pastor has a known sex offender inside the church. And he goes, well, I got to talk to you about that. We have one here. And so that is this guy that I just read you all the information about. Brother Scott has his daughter and his son-in-law in that church with their two little grandchildren. And not anymore. I mean, they're gone now. But this is the type of thing that I'm talking about tonight that's so wicked.
Yeah, right.
Now, Brother Scott, we preach. All of us pastors here preach. Go to the best church in your area that you can go to. That was the best church in the area to go to. Now what are you going to do? Because this pastor doesn't have the guts to kick some pervert out of their church. And he tried to downplay the whole thing and act like, I think he just did one thing one time a long time ago. And then all he had to do is Google his name, and this is what came up, is this stuff right here. There's pages upon pages upon pages of him trying to get out of all this stuff. And it's wicked. And so these are the types of pastors that I'm preaching against. And you know what? I am going to call his name out. I don't care if he's saved or not. He could be saved, but I'll tell you what he's not doing. He's not winning souls. So he's not bringing forth fruit. So you know what? I'm not going to cut down one of God's fruit trees, but he ain't bringing forth any fruit. Brother Scott was the one that was doing the soul winning program at his church. He wasn't going. But you know what? And it might not seem like, it's just a small church with 20 people in it. Yeah, it is. But I'll tell you what, if this sermon tonight stops everybody that ever hears it from ever going and setting foot into that church, then I'll feel good about it. Because I don't think we should sweep things under the rug.
Amen.
I'm going to call out that pastor, and you know what? I left him a 1-star Google review. If I could have left him less than a 1-star, I would have. Rose Hill Baptist Church, if you guys want to put a bad star. Hey, he's letting that pervert in the church, and you know what? Brother Scott brought all this information to him. It wasn't just like, because look, he said he was in trouble for statutory rape. Okay, so that could be like an 18-year-old with a 17-year-old. You don't know what exactly that means. Which is not right either, but I'm just saying there's a big difference between 4-year-old children and some 18 and 17-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when he told him all this stuff, he went and handed the keys back to him of the church, their life in that place. When he came back to hand him the keys of the church, the pastor said to him? He said, "You guys just don't have any grace." Can you believe that? It would have been hard for me not to slap that guy. Or at least flinch him or something. I don't know. It's so wicked. It just makes me so mad. And I asked Brother Scott, "Do you think the guy's saved?" He said, "Yeah." But if this sermon, if he actually watches this sermon and says, "You know what? Maybe I am wrong. Maybe I should get this pervert out of my church," then I'll be happy with the results of this sermon.
Yeah.
If that pastor just says, "You know what, I'm wrong. I need to change." Yeah. Pastor, his name is Timothy Smallwood, and he allows perverts to sit in his church and lies to his congregation about it. He lied. The only reason why he even brought it up is probably just a chance to get Brother Scott and the Lyle family out of this church or something. Or maybe he just felt like being honest for once in his life. But he still wasn't honest. I dug a little deeper on that guy when I went to my pastor and told him about that. I didn't know the ramifications of what it was. I didn't know he was. I had to look up his name, and then it said 7-year-old, the 7-year-old boy stuff and all that. I had to show him how wicked that guy was. But he still didn't kick him out of the church. Isn't it sad today that we live in a world where you can't even trust the pastor to kick some perverts out of your church? And look, this guy isn't just some pervert. This guy is the worst kind of pervert.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the worst kind. They should never be allowed to breathe the air that we breathe. The moment that they commit that crime, they should be sentenced to death. Amen. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
And it's unbelievable to me that a pastor would say to him, "You guys just don't have any grace." Hey, maybe you got too much grace, buddy. Maybe you got more grace than God does. Because God said you should put a millstone around their neck and hang them and drop them to the depths of the sea. And that they're going to go into a place where the worm dieth not and the fire's not quenched.
Right.
And you're going to let him in your church? You must be crazy.
Right.
What does a good shepherd do? Well, a good shepherd is a lot different than that guy. Turn to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. Look at verse number 11. This is Jesus speaking. It says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." You know what Pastor Timothy Smallville is? His name is Smallwood, but Smallville, small time, small mind. You know what? He's a hireling. See, people like to accuse pastors like, "Look, I don't get paid for one thing, okay, so I'm not a hireling." I love it when people call me a hireling. But the Bible defines what a hireling is right here. It's someone that doesn't care for the sheep. You're not a good shepherd. You're a hireling because when you don't care for the sheep, you know, believe it or not, there's pastors that go into the ministry as a job, as a career path.
Yeah.
Instead of a caring for people path. Instead of a being a pastor path. Instead of just being a good Christian and filling the gap, that there's lots of gaps out there. But what is a hireling do? They careth not for the sheep. Look at verse 13. It says, "The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling. He careth not for the sheep." So in fact, he cares more about the wolf than he does about the sheep. In the case of Pastor Smallville, right? He cares more about the wolf. There you have two tithing families, six souls in your church that want to go soul winning, that want to inject some life into your church. And you're going to choose some pervert that smells like cigarettes when he walks through the door every time? And eyeballs your kids. Would a good shepherd leave his sheep to a wolf? Absolutely not. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. You guys don't have any grace. So, oh man. Jeremiah 23. See, this is the type of pastors that God doesn't want. In Jeremiah 23, verse number 1, it says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord." See, you know, God, pastors are held to a higher standard, whether people understand that or not. God is going to hold us accountable more for the things that we do. And hey, he says, just not visiting them, scattering them and not visiting them. The Bible says that I will visit you for the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. I don't want that kind of visit. Do you want that kind of visit, Pastor Shelley? Pastor Jimenez, you want that kind of visit? I don't want that. Pastor Fritz, you want that kind of visit? I don't want that kind of visit. That's not a visit I want from the Lord, okay? Where he's saying, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings. It says, I will gather the remnant out of my flock, out of all countries, whether I've driven them, and I'll bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more. nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Hey, tonight you're in a church that has a shepherd over you that is trying to feed you. And he doesn't want you to be dismayed. He doesn't want, you know what dismayed means? It means to break down the courage of something, somebody completely. So Pastor Shelley doesn't want your courage to be broken down. He wants to build your courage up, to be bold, to be good Christians. And as pastors, we need to be watchmen. But as church members, you need to be watchmen also. And I'll get to that in a second. Let's look over to Ezekiel chapter 3 real quick, though. Ezekiel chapter 3. See, we as pastors are supposed to be watchmen also. We're supposed to be like the sheepdogs. We're supposed to be watching out for our sheep that we're put entrusted, that we're entrusted with. Look at Ezekiel 3, verse 17. It says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. See, we are supposed to be watchmen of the house of Israel. Hey, and today, look, all scripture is given for us for is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, and all that. But we're supposed to get it at God's mouth. What's God's mouth right here for us? It's the King James Bible. And the pastor is supposed to be saying, hey, they need to hear it from my mouth, not your mouth. You know, I can get up here and tell stories. I can get up here and tell poems. I've told a couple stories, but you know, I've also given you some scriptures to chew on. But we're supposed to, at the word of God's mouth, give warning unto the people, unto the house of Israel. And guess what? In the New Testament, we are the children of Israel. It's not the Jews over there shaking their heads at the wall. Okay? But again, Jesus said it's better for these offenders to be cast into the sea. Why are pastors letting them in their churches? I can't understand that. I'll never be able to grasp that. I've never thought it was okay. I've always thought it was weird. I've always thought, you know, why are they letting them do that? So, you know, my main warnings that I wanted to give tonight from the watchman point of view is I want to warn people about Pastor Timothy Smallwood and Rose Hill Baptist Church in Duquesne, Arkansas. It should be avoided. Don't trust your children at that church for 1 second, because a man that would have some kind of a relationship with a handicapped woman and molest his own children, molest his nieces and nephews, and total strangers and little children like that, you can't turn your back on that guy for 1 second. Number two, Edwin James, or Ed, as he is called at the church, is a psychopath, reprobate, offender of children. He attends Rose Hill Baptist Church. Don't trust this pervert for 1 second. And he smells like cigarette smoke. Anyway, number three, any pastor or church intentionally hiding perverts needs to be exposed. We can't just, we'll just go someplace else. No, they need to be exposed. And again, I know I brought up Pastor Shiflett before, but you know what? He had a chance to just leave, pack his stuff, gather his things. He was living in some people at the church. He was living in their basement or whatever. He could have just went home. You know, he intentionally did not call his dad because his dad would have said, come home. He wanted to make sure that this pastor got exposed for the person that he was, regardless of the cost to him personally. And you know what? And it did cost him something personally, because the good old boy Baptist spin club, they made his name mud everywhere else, and he never got called to be a pastor at another job until he was actually put up by Giovanelli. And Giovanelli turned out to be a Judas also. So, but the only reason why he's a pastor today is because God put him in that position. I think that the things that happened to him, if you read the book, it's a great book. I think the things that happened to him helped him to be able to deal with the situations that he had to deal with and to be the man of God that he is. I'm thankful for a man of God that will stand up and tell the truth no matter what it's going to cost them. Because Giovanelli was a powerful Bible college, whatever. He was the head of the Bible college. It's a big Baptist church. It's a big college. And he knew that it's going to cost him something, and it probably has. And it probably will. But you know what? Sometimes telling the truth is going to cost you something. So, and I said I was going to talk about the church members being watchmen on the wall. Turn to 2 Samuel 18, verse 24. So church members, and I know in a church like this, we have many watchmen in here and watchwomen. There's a lot of people watching people, and rightly so. Now, don't get crazy with it, okay? You know, just because someone glances in the general direction of your kid doesn't mean that they're a pervert, okay? So don't get too crazy, like, that person's a pervert, I know it, because they looked at my kid just for like 2 seconds. But, hey, trust your instincts too. But you know who you don't go to? Don't go to Joe church member. Don't go to so-and-so. Hey, go to your pastor and let the man of God deal with it. And I guarantee you that Pastor Shelley is going to deal with it. If I've seen Pastor Shelley take care of some things in the last few months, I know he's going to deal with it. I just trust that he would, okay? So, but anyway, look at 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 24. It says, "And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up onto the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone." So this is the watchman, and David is the king, okay? This is after the whole thing with his son. Absalom, yeah, good night. I couldn't think of his name for a second. Anyway, look at verse 25. It says, "And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there's tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near, and the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he's a good man and cometh with good tidings." So notice the watchman knew the running of that person. He knew it. We know a lot of people in here, and we know who they are and what they do. But as a watchman, as a church member watchman, you know when something's not right. So they knew the running of Ahimaaz. But you also probably know the running of a little queer sissy too, don't you?
Yeah, right.
You know, me thinketh he's runneth like a queer little sissy. Me thinketh he's got a little sugar in the tank. You know, me thinketh he looks at kids and stares at them for too long. And then what did he do? He told David, didn't he? So what I'm saying is to you as a watchman, as a layman watchman here at this church, hey, go to your pastor and let them deal with it. Don't go around to a bunch of people and hurt someone that really isn't what you think that they are. So, but if you have a gut feeling about somebody, then go to your pastor. So, you know, we can look, we can see, we need to watch and be vigilant in our churches. Because, look, people like to attack churches like this, too. And this, for some reason, the psychopaths like to come and try to break our churches up and things like that. We got to be watchmen on the wall. But my fellow pastors in this room, we can never, ever get soft on this issue, ever. Right. And I know that everybody in this room I know is never going to get soft on this issue. I know people have lost a lot of things in this room because of these types of issues and preaching it and thundering it forth in their pulpit. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather close, because there's a lot of legislation that's probably going to be put forth in the years to come, and you have to, if you're this, let these queers come in and get married or whatever. I'll tell you what, I will shut my church down before I ever allow some pervert to come in. Amen. It's not going to happen. Amen. We'll sit under a tree, you know, while it rains. I don't care. We'll sing Amazing Grace under the trees. I don't, you know, I'll meet somewhere else. I'll dissolve everything, and we'll just start and call ourselves Verity Baptist Vancouver. But, you know, I've had a child molester that I knew was a child molester. I knew it for a fact. It wasn't just I thought it. It wasn't they saw the queer runnings. The watchman saw the queer runnings. I knew for a fact he was a child molester. And I got a call from one of my guys at the door, and they said, "Hey, this guy's here," and I said, "Hey, he's wanting to talk to you." I said, "You tell him he better be gone before I get there, or some bad things are going to happen to him." And you know, I don't know if I would have been disqualified or not, but I'll tell you what, I'm not going to let a wolf come in, mess around with my sheep. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much. And we just ask, Lord, that you'd help us to be vigilant in churches like this, Lord. Help these pastors, Lord, they have to deal with so much. Lord, I pray that if someone sees something crazy, Lord, they'd tell their pastor and let them know. And Lord, I pray that you would just uke Pastor Smallwood, Lord, as far as he's allowing a wicked person to be in that church. And Lord, he really hurt a couple of families. And I just pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, help him to have a change of heart and realize that what he's done is wrong and he needs to kick that guy out. And I pray, Lord, that that guy would stop breathing anytime in the near future, very soon. Lord, he's done so much damage. He's done such wicked things, Lord. I pray that you'd deal with him, Lord. Take him out. And I pray that you would, Lord, bless the rest of this conference, Lord. We thank you so much for Pastor Shelley putting it on. Pray for Pastor Menez as he comes up to preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.